love awesome.
Yeah.
I just... Jim, as he is playing drums, he's made the comment, can I go back out again? No? Am I good?
You're good.
Can you hear through that? All right. He made the comment when he's playing drums, he's like, I wish it would just never end, you know? And that's his form of worship in his service to this church and to his Lord. And I kind of felt like that this morning. I felt like, you know, man, just could have kept going. Could have kept going. I can only imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. With every tribe, every nation, every tongue, our loved ones who have gone before us, singing praises and worship to our King. What a mighty day that's going to be. That is coming through. I just want to make sure. I don't want to.
It's like under your shirt lapel, though. Maybe put it on the outside or something.
That's
what
it sounds like.
Okay, better?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, huh? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you for the words you've given me. I thank you for the wonderful time of worship with this church family, Lord, as we sung praises to your name. And I ask, Lord, that you would have your will in your way right now as the preaching of your word goes forth out, Lord. Holy Spirit, anoint my lips to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Psalm 138, 1 through 2 says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you, with a capital Y. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. The title of this is Trusting and Praising the Name Above All Names. You know, as we move closer to the end of this age, things kind of in our past that seem so important to us, I can definitely say this in my life, are just not nearly as significant now. And maybe even they don't even cross your mind. And you look at maybe old pictures or memories, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that or something like that, but it's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. Even maybe some possessions that we once wanted, maybe even coveted as a child or as we grew up, you don't have that desire anymore. You have a new desire. A desire for a heavenly home, which there's a reservation with your name on it. And I think that longing is because this world that we currently live in is rapidly moving towards a dark side. And it'll soon face the worst 7-year period of time that has ever been or will be on the earth. Basically, Satan will be loosed. No restraint. And create as much havoc and destruction as he wishes. And then God's going to destroy. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, if those days had not been cut short, no human would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. That's quite the statement, isn't it? What intensity. And while the world grows crazier than ever, this is probably more for some of you than you thought you'd ever see, and I think you'll see some more. And attacks on us and families only intensify. That weariness, that battle weariness, like Katie's talking about, certainly creeps in. A feeling of despair, maybe sometimes. Some days it's simply too much to handle. And your hope wanes. You're spot on, Catherine. It's like you want to, you're on the battlefield and you want to escape the battlefield. Yet you see that storm blowing and you know in your inner man, we talked about this last week, you know something's on the horizon. Something big's coming. Your spirit says, hey, like brace yourself for what's coming. But the truth is, this earth is only going to continue to wax worse and worse. There's not much on the horizon for relief, folks. There's not some political savior going to come. The world will be deceived by that. The only relief is Jesus.
Amen.
That is the only relief. And the closer the devil gets to his end is coming, right? But there's going to be more and more demonic activity that occurs. It's going to ramp up. His attacks are going to intensify. And guess what, folks? My family and you, beloved, are in the crosshairs.
Yes.
You are the targets.
Yes.
You are targets. And you will remain in the enemy's crosshairs. So when you feel like without hope, when you feel like that drain, like someone like they took the bottom of the gas tank and popped it and just drained on E, I think that sometimes that's a spirit of oppression for sure. Where you think you're like, you remember like Elijah, how quickly things changed? Do you remember like mountaintop experience? He actually outruns Ahab. And then like literally at the word, all of a sudden it's just like, boom, despair. And hope, losing hope can turn shattering to the life of a believer. It can be shattering to us. And it allows intense oppression. But I would say that for us, we're living in exciting times. They're scary times, but they're exciting times. And as the world gets darker by the day, we see separation from dark and light, do we not? It's becoming very clear. For those who have spiritual discernment, you can see that. You can see the separation of wheat and tares, even within the church. The Bible talks about an apostasy, a falling away. Can you not see that happening in the church?
Yes.
Holding to doctrines of demons, not the original doctrines, not the original gospel. They've gone the way of Balaam. So there's a clear separation happening, right? Wheat and tares. Earth dwellers and heirs. What are you folks? Are you an heir?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Because the world and the God of this world will do all in his best power to steal your hope. To render you ineffective as the battle rages, not only in heavenlies, but here on this earth. Okay? So we have to deal with that question. What can we do to maintain our hope? And if you've lost your hope, to restore it after the fiery season, after the trial, after the intense battle, after you're feeling oppressed. And the answer is, true believers look for the goodness of God, no matter our circumstances. You've been hearing about the trial. Find the good in it. There's good in it. God is there. He's with you. Right? We learned that last week. The storm is there, and he's there on the pillow with you. He's not bothered.
Yes.
Know that he will use all things for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even while you're under fire.
Yes.
Ask three Hebrew boys about that. They know all about being in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was with them?
Yes.
The Lord. That's right. So we fix our eyes on Jesus with the assurance that he's truly coming. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. It's not in his nature to lie. He has to do it. And we wield the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's the most vital and underutilized weapon we have. It's the only offensive weapon we have, folks. So dress in your spiritual armor. Remain soldiers of hope. Give me a reason for the hope that is inside you. We are to occupy and redeem our time. And as we did this morning, we are to praise his name and we are to trust in him.
Yes.
Trust in him. We have great purpose, folks. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In all that you do, even in your workplace, my dear brother Ken started a new job this past week, first day, and he gets to share the Lord. He gets to share about prophecy, and he didn't muzzle his mouth.
Amen.
Doing to the glory of God. He's still working, but he's doing it to the glory of God. Do you understand? You have opportunities to let your light shine. Don't create them. Allow them to happen. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Do it all to the glory of God. Our ability to glorify God is having the knowledge of God and then knowing Him personally in view of that knowledge. Who is He? What is He like? And we give Him glory. That word glory, right, is doxa in the New Testament. That's Greek. And it refers to that which we should give to God as praise, thanksgiving, obedience, reverence, and service because of who God is and what God does, past, present today, and in the future. Amen? In other words, giving glory to God, it's tied in with the knowledge of God, the revelation of God. And as you become a believer, you become more in tune with the revelation of God, of who He is. And then that's your response, is to knowing Him personally. It's growing in intimacy. Can you say that about yourself? Have you grown more intimate with the Lord? I think it's interesting that as we race towards the end of the age, Satan will look to impose his name upon the earth dwellers. Right? Revelation 13. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Yet we know something different. Because we know God, we know him by his name, by his great name. Our opening text, 138, 1-2, I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods that will sing praise to you. I will worship your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. You see, we know God not only by his perfection and his works, but also by his names. There's names in this Bible that mean something. Yes. Names carried some weight back in the day of this scripture when it was written. It doesn't maybe carry as much today in our world. Isn't that interesting? That's because it's an attack on identity, folks. Mm-hmm. Satan wants you to lose your identity. Yeah. That's why the undermining of man and woman. The names tell us many things about God's care and concern for his own, folks, as the heir. And so we look at names, right? The names of God. Elohim. The Elohim, which means the strong one. It's also, it has been used of false gods when it's used of the true God with a capital G. It's a plural of majesty. And it intimates the Trinity. It's especially used of God's sovereignty, his creative work, his mighty work for Israel in relation to his sovereignty. Isaiah 54 verse 5 says, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." Isaiah 45:18, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is no other." Elohim. How about El Shaddai? He's saying that. God Almighty. Some think it stresses God's loving supply and comfort, but others his power as the Almighty One standing on a mountain who corrects and chastens. When Abram in Genesis 17:1 was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." Psalm 91, one of the favorites, I think, of Kathleen for sure. 1-2, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." El Elyon, the Most High God, stresses His strength, His sovereignty, and His supremacy. Daniel 7:18, But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Verse 22 in chapter 7. And the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Look at these descriptions of our God, folks. There's power in the name. El Elyon, everlasting God. Everlasting, not wood and stubble. It emphasizes God's unchangeableness. He doesn't get exhausted, folks. We saw the humanity of Jesus, right? Because he came as man. So we got to see because he was acquainted with us. He's glorified now, folks. Elyon is God's nature. It's without beginning or end. It's free from all constraints of time, and he contains within himself the very cause of time itself. Wow. Yahweh, which comes from the verb which means to exist. It is the existing one. Our minds cannot even comprehend that concept because we're finite creatures, right? Beginning and end. And he has always existed. The existing one. It shows the name that stresses God as the independent, self-existent God of revelation and redemption. And it should be used in all caps to distinguish itself from Adonai. This revelation of the name was given to Moses in Exodus 3:14. I am who I am. Yahweh is present, he is accessible, and he is near to all who call on him for deliverance. And that is found in Psalm 107:13. Then they cried out to the Lord for their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. It's found in forgiveness, Psalm 25:11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Those translations are Yahweh. And for guidance, Psalm 31:3, for you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Within the word Yahweh, you have now compounds of that, which is Yahweh Jireh, or Jireh. The Lord will provide. Do you hear that? The Lord will provide. When you feel like there's a season of lack coming, or you're in it, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Katie taught on that part before. Set a banner. Set a banner. God is our rallying point, and he's our means of victory. Amen. He's the one who fights for his people. Exodus 17:15. He's our banner. Yes. Rally around the flag, boys. Yeah. And girls. Yeah. Yahweh Shalom. He is your peace. Yes. He's our means of peace and rest. Gideon even built an altar in Judges 6:24 and called it the Lord is peace. Mm-hmm. Yahweh Sabaoth. The Lord of hosts, a military figure portraying the Lord as the commander of the armies of heaven. David said that, right? To the uncircumcised Philistine, right? You come to me with the sword, with the spear, with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Is this speaking to you? Do you?
Yeah.
These names. Yeah. Yahweh. Mekadesh, the Lord your sanctifier. The Lord portrays as your means of sanctification. The one who sets believers apart for his purposes. Yes. Exodus 31 verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall also keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Yes. Yahweh Roi. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Psalm 23, verse 1. You know that one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Portrays the Lord. He cares for his people just as the shepherd cares for the sheep in his pasture. Yahweh Zinkeno, the Lord our righteousness, which portrays the Lord as the means of our righteousness, right? Jeremiah 23, 6, it says, the Lord our righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Jesus' righteousness makes us white as snow. Amen?
Amen?
Yahweh Shama, the Lord is there. It wants reference to him being in his presence in the temple, the glory of the Lord. But Ezekiel 48, 35 says, portrays the Lord's personal presence during the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Reigning. The Lord is there. Say, the Lord is there. Yahweh Elohim Israel, or Israel, the Lord God of Israel. Judges 5:3, hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Adonai, like Elohim, is also a plural of majesty. In its singular form, it means master, owner, Lord. This stresses our relationship to God, that God is our master, our authority, and our provider. That's found in Joshua 5:14, Genesis 18:2, 40 verse 1, Samuel 1:15, Exodus 21:1-6. I'm not going to read all of them, so we'll be here a long time then. In Theos, which is the Greek word translated to God in the New Testament, the primary name for God used in the New Testament, it teaches us that he is the only true God, Matthew 23, verse 9, that he is unique, 1 Timothy 1:17, Revelation 15, verse 4, he is transcendent, Acts 17, verse 24, Hebrews 3, 4, Revelation 10, 6, he is the Savior, John 3, 16. This name is also used as Christ is God, John 1, 1, John 1, 18, 1 John 5, 20, Titus 2, 13, looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 1. Kyrios, the Greek word translated for Lord, stresses the authority and supremacy. And while it can mean sir, which is used in John 4, 11, it also has owner in Luke 19, 33. It means master, Colossians 3, 22. It can refer to idols in 1 Corinthians 8, 5, or husbands even in 1 Peter 3, 6. It's used mostly as the equivalent of Yahweh of the Old Testament, but is also too used of Jesus Christ, meaning rabbi or sir, Matthew 8, 6. God or deity, John 20, verse 28. The word despotes, Greek word translated master, carries the idea of ownership, while kurios stressed supreme authority. Luke 2, 29, Acts 4, 24, Revelation 6, verse 10. You're going to have to read, you're going to have to listen to this again to write all of it down. 2 Peter 2, 1, and Jude 4. Not chapter 4, because Jude's only one chapter. Father. Father. A distinctive New Testament revelation is that through faith in Christ, God becomes our personal Father, to which we cry, Abba, Father. Right? Its Father is used of God in the Old Testament only 15 times, while it's used of God 245 times in the New Testament. As a daddy, we know that we love and we care and we want to provide and discipline, and that's the same thing that God the Father does. His provision, his loving care, right? He provided his own Son for us. To call on the name of the Lord was to worship him as God. In the Old Testament, we see that Genesis 21, verse 33, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. He also did it, Isaac, 26, verse 25, built an altar there, called on the name of the Lord. That's worship, folks. That's what we were doing. We were worshiping, calling on the name of the Lord. All the songs we sang. So when we call on the name of the Lord, it refers to God's whole character. Everything you've heard, this is not every single name, folks. But there's power behind name. Amen?
Amen.
And when you view it in the New Testament, you find the same thing with Jesus in a similar way to the name of God in the Old Testament. There's salvation only through his name, John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Believers are to gather together in his name. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. There's definitely two or more here today. Prayer is to be made in his name. John 14, verse 13 through 40. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
Here's one that's not popular. The servant of the Lord who bears the name of Christ. Do we sing that? Holy forever? If you bear his name, right?
Yeah.
The servant of the Lord who bears the name of Christ will be hated. I know of a prominent preacher in Texas who probably doesn't use that one. And you will be hated all by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 10, verse 22. The book of Acts makes frequent mention of worship, service, and suffering in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:18, 5:28. 541, 1043, 19 verse 17. And it is at the very name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2, 10 through 11. There is power, dunamis power in the name of our God, folks. That is why we praise his name. It's in his name. It's in his character that his name describes it, that we can put our trust. For he is above all. He's above all. That's why in Psalm 146, the psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Our job is to keep praising him. We praise him. While I live, I will praise the Lord. That's Psalm 146. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. As long as there's breath in my lungs, I will praise his name.
Amen.
That's our focus. We need to be praising in good and bad, in lack and in abundance. Hebrews 13:50 says, Therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to our God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's why we sing. That's why we sing in the morning. That's why we sing before service, like part of the beginning of service. We sing. It's fruit. It's fruit for our lips. That's a sign of steadfastness and a way to bear fruit, folks. During this race of life, until you breathe your last breath, you praise the Lord. It's not easy. It's not easy when you're being afflicted, when you're down in the dumps. It's not easy to praise him. That's why you need to be reminded daily of whom you serve. Because the enemy of our soul loves nothing more than to immediately distract you, including the beginning of the day. I have made it a habit to start my day in prayer when I wake up in the morning in the prayer, rather than reach over to grab my phone. Unless the alarm's going off, because I don't want to wake up my honey. And if you're one to grab your phone first, maybe you need to kind of rethink that when you wake up. Before you go to check your email, before you go look at text messages or whatever you miss on social media, start your day in prayer. You have to have a mindset that God is with you in the trials of life and in the blessings of life. He says, "I never leave you nor forsake you." Amen?
Amen.
He's with you to the end. which means you trust in him in all things then. Later in that psalm, it says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of a man, in whom there is no help. Man can't help you. Man can't help you. What? Why? Because his spirit departs. He returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. You see, God is eternal, and so are his plans. His ways are not our ways, and all the plans of man can be made with good intentions often, and steps are directed, but in the end, it all goes away when he dies. The rich man in Luke 16 had plans, right?
Yeah.
I got barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones. I'm going to tear them down and build bigger ones. Fool, your life is ended now. That man had plans. And I'm sure there are many others on this earth who have plans. Maybe even some good plans for mankind. Yet it's with them all their dreams depart. But for us, believer, we are to trust in the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Acknowledge him in all our ways. And he'll direct our path. Man will let you down. If your confidence is man, they will fail you. But the one whom we serve is faithful and true. He will not fail you. He will never fail you.
Yes.
Happy is he. Listen to this. Happy is he. This is still Psalm 146. Who has the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he. Right? Happy is he. Joyful is he. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. There's that hope again. Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Who keeps truth forever?
Yeah.
He's not a politician making a promise to get your vote and then backdoor you and say, nah, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
Thanks for the 4 years of service, though, and my sweet pension. We are talking about the God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in it.
Yes.
Do you think that your trial or your problem is too great for him?
Nope.
It's not. Nope. It's not. Come on. There are times when we do. We certainly do. And that's our flesh crying out saying, like, this one's too big for you, God. I'll figure this one out myself. I am man. I was thinking about that the other day. It's got a little video of Sean and Caitlin and Jeffrey, and they're got a little fire going. Fire, fire, fire. Like little cavemen. It's hilarious. Clinging to him, right? Think about the God of Jacob, right? The God of Jacob. Remember Jacob, Genesis 32? Remember him? He wrestles with the angel of the Lord. See, Jacob knew the source of the blessing was in God, not man. It was not in man. And it wasn't in himself. That's why he had to be humbled and reminded, right, with his hip.
Yeah, yeah.
But he clung so tightly. I think about the woman who just knew to touch Jesus' hem as she worked her way through the crowd because she knew the source.
Yes, yes.
Do you know the source? Do you know the source? Are you clinging tightly to the Lord? And it's not for your own blessing, like your own material good. It's for the blessing of his kingdom.
Yes, yes.
His truth is forever. His words are forever. Our hope alone is in the Lord, the creator of all, because our hope and faith is in him alone. Because the Lord does mighty things for us. Later in that psalm, it says, who executes justice, 146 verse 7, for the oppressed. Many Christians today are persecuted for their belief, folks. It's coming here too. You can feel it. You can feel the pivot. You right-wing, conspiracy, conservative Christians. But our God is just, right? God is a just God. A just judge. It says Psalm 7:11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. 1 Peter 4:5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. He is a righteous judge, and it's he who will get the vengeance. Not us. Not us. Whether justice happens today, it's not our concern. We make our petitions and appeals to him. And in the end, it'll all be corrected and rectified. Our afflictions and trials are temporary, right? These light afflictions are temporary because we've got all eternity in front of us, folks. That's a long time. Okay? How about those who are dealing with the lack, right? Who gives food for the hungry, right? Jehovah Jireh again, right? Do not worry, saying, how am I going to eat? How am I going to drink? What shall I wear? Father knows those things that you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other things will come with it. Amen?
Amen.
I hope this is getting into your inner man.
Oh, yes.
We're talking about the God who fed 5,000 folks. With 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. How many can you feed at your restaurant with 2 and 5, huh? Not 5,000. How about the God who provided birds for Elijah? Manna from heaven to Israel. Trust him. Praise him. When you feel that lack, Jehovah Jireh is my God. Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Yireh. Get these names inside and call on them.
Yes.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. I'm sorry. He gives freedom to the prisoners. Right? You were once in bondage. You were in chains to sin, were you not? Praise the Lord. And he opens the eyes of the blind, right? 2 Corinthians 3:16 talks about the veil, but those who turn to the Lord, the veil's taken away. Your eyes were like rubbed with the mud, and all of a sudden you saw.
Yeah.
The God of this age has blinded the world out there. Be his hands and feet.
Yeah.
Let your light shine. Be salt. Be that savory character.
Yes.
And the Lord raises those who are bowed down, those who are humble, not proud. Humble. The meek inherit the earth, not the proud. The proud are cut down like chaff. We bow now and we are raised up with him. Amen?
Amen.
You can't save yourself. That takes humbleness to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord loves the righteous. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord watches over strangers, are we not? Are we not strangers, pilgrims, sojourners, passing through? He looks after those he loves. He'll protect us until he calls us home, until your appointed time. That's the sovereignty of God. You have an appointed time. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. God is going to wipe away every tear from every eye, the sorrow, the kids who have lost parents, to you who have lost siblings, to the widows, to the orphans who have no father today have a heavenly father, actually.
Yes.
He cares for them. That's what Jesus said in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He talks about all those things. All the pain that is felt here in this life will be made right by our Lord. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Ooh, I like that. The wicked may have plans, but the bottom line is, we win. We win. We win because he wins. And we'll be praising him forevermore. Can't wait to hear your heavenly voice, Stephen. When things seem out of control, folks, know who is in control. Know him. Know him. He's working all for good. That which you think for evil, there's something far greater than you can ever understand. Trusting in him, because our King and Lord will reign forever. That's what the first 10 in 146 says. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, that's how it ends. Let's keep praising Him. Let's keep trusting Him. And we will be blessed as we know our hope and confidence is in Him. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At His name, the demons flee. At His name, the dead are raised to life. The sick are healed. There's power in His name.
Yes, amen.
John, in Revelation 1, as he's describing Jesus, says, grace to you and peace from Him who is continual existence, present existence, and who was our past time, and who is to come, the future coming, not too far from now. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the Word that became flesh, that dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory.
Yes.
Full of grace and truth, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. The first fruits. The resurrection, proof of God's acceptance of His sacrifice. And how many more have come to faith because of that? Hallelujah. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And in Revelation it goes, the ruler over kings of the earth. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth is what He said. To Him who loved us, He loved us first. He loved us first. And washed us clean. That filth is gone. The filth of sin. In the NIV it says, it freed us. In the NASB, it says, release or free from the bondage or chains of sin. From our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God. We are part of His kingdom. And we'll be ruling and reigning with Him. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
He took back the authority that Satan got. Behold, He is coming. Look, behold, look. Pay attention. He's coming with clouds. Every eye will see Him, and even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen.
Amen.
I am, there it is, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is just further affirmation that Jesus Christ, the first and the last, the central figure of Revelation, He is the Word and the testimony to which we have access to His blessings and to the earth dwellers. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to reveal Himself to them, whether they accept Him or not. He is revealing Himself. He's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the ruler of all kings. He is the source whose blood that washes us, cleanses us, and releases us from the penalty and the power of sin. He's coming again with clouds, with all power and glory, in which all will see Him. He is the eternal one who was and will be for all eternity. At our greatest time of need, we can trust in the name of our God, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our teacher. He is our guide, cornerstone, our shalom, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jehovah Nissi, bright and morning star, King of kings, Lord of lords, eternal God, Holy Spirit, El Shaddai, Master Savior, living water, Elohim, mediator, holy, the way, the truth, and the life, the rock, true light, Emmanuel, Holy One, Messiah, Most High, Comforter, Living Word, Jehovah, Abba Father, the Vine, the Author of Life, Shepherd, Light of the World, Advocate, Wonderful, Counselor, Love, Purifier, Jehovah Jireh, Shield our Passover, Lamb, Creator, the Door, Almighty, Everlasting Father, the Potter, the Vine, Adonai, Deliverer, Faithful and True, My Strong Tower, Yahweh, the Great I Am. Whoa.
Yes.
You have access to all those names and His character. So when you feel the enemy creeping on you, just start speaking the names back. Just speak it back. I pray this bless you.
Oh, yes.
The powerful names of our God.
Yes.
see him come back on the white horse with it saying faithful and true. And there's a name for you, right? With your stone on it that you're going to be polishing, right? What a mighty God we serve, folks. So when the world is looking to get formed and the enemy is looking to put his name upon them, we can call on the name of our God.
Amen.
And trust in him. He'll see you through.
Oh, yeah.
And this is scratching the surface. I wonder, when we get glorified, how much more the depth of these names will come into play.
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word, the promises. As you reveal these things to us, Lord, Daniel, you said to Daniel that knowledge would increase, and for us as believers, that the knowledge of you would increase in our life. That we can look to you for all things. You are sufficiency. Even when we feel inadequate, you are sufficiency. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.